From WHQR Public Media in Wilmington, North Carolina, this is Coastline. I'm Rachel Lewis Hilburn. Sea turtles, short-nosed sturgeon, and Atlantic sturgeon are all protected by the federal government. They also can all be maimed or killed by dredging. That's why, according to the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, a self-imposed dredging window has been part of the Corps' dredging protocol since the 1990s. The Corps has avoided dredging during times when these species are more likely to be in local waters. But in what the Southern Environmental Law Center calls an abrupt reversal in decades of policy and practice, the Corps now plans to allow hopper dredging year-round at Wilmington and Morehead City harbors. That includes, according to the SELC, the height of turtle nesting season and times of year when many fish are in young, sensitive life stages. So far, that decision has led to at least 4 sea turtle deaths in North Carolina. In response to the Corps' policy change, and on behalf of 3 conservation groups, the Southern Environmental Law Center has filed suit. The Corps says eliminating the dredging window will increase efficiency, improving navigability and safety for commercial vessels, while reducing costs for taxpayers. A federal court has already ruled that the Corps may not dredge in Georgia's Brunswick Harbor in the spring and summer. The Corps also argues removing the historic seasonal window is about shifting dredging to a risk-based management approach. In its final environmental assessment, the Corps states the Port of Wilmington has modernized to handle larger vessels and has completed a feasibility study to increase the harbor channel depth an additional 5 feet to accommodate future growth. Coastal navigation is a key element of state and local government economic development and job creation efforts, and it's essential in maintaining economic competitiveness and national security. There are 3 plaintiffs in the lawsuit against the Corps: Cape Fear River Watch, North Carolina Wildlife Federation, and Defenders of Wildlife, a national nonprofit. Today, we'll hear from one of those plaintiffs, as well as the attorney who filed the suit. We reached out to the Wilmington District of the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, the federal agency being sued, and they referred us to the Department of Justice. In response to our invitation to join this discussion or issue a statement, a spokesperson with the DOJ wrote, "Thanks for the kind offer. Our general policy is not to comment on pending litigation, so we will decline." Ramona McGee is a staff attorney with the Southern Environmental Law Center, the organization that filed suit against the Army Corps of Engineers. Ramona McGee, welcome to Coastline.
Thank you very much.
Kemp Burdett is riverkeeper for Cape Fear River Watch, a local nonprofit environmental advocacy group and one of the 3 plaintiffs in the suit. Kemp Burdett, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Rachel.
So what do you think, Kemp Burdett, is really at stake here? What do you think the public will lose if a court does not agree with the complaint?
I think we have the potential to lose really important species and a kind of reckless and poorly thought out reversal of the way we've done things for a long time in an effort to not kill and maim species like sea turtles. And there's more than just one sea turtle in the Cape Fear River. We see loggerheads. We see Kemp's Ridley's. I saw Kemp's Ridley's turtle in the river just a few weeks ago. And really important fish species as well. So endangered species like short-nosed and Atlantic sturgeon. But also, the potential to lose many, many important fish that use the river at some point in their life, either as a spawning ground for fish like striped bass and shad, or a recruitment ground for all kinds of other fish, drum and sea trout and flounder and, just a croaker, grouper, just an incredibly long list of fish that need to be in the Cape Fear estuary at some point in their life to grow up and be really economically important fish species for North Carolina.
One of the things that confused me about this complaint early on was dredging sea turtles and the river. I imagine sea turtles in the open ocean. You said you saw a particularly, they're all endangered, right? But there are different types.
Right.
And some types are more endangered than others. Tell us about the one that you saw in the river and what are turtles doing in the river?
Well, you know, I'll start by saying I'm not an expert on sea turtles, but, you know, I think it's a pretty well-documented fact that turtles are in the river as far up as Wilmington. This proposal includes both the lower parts of the Cape Fear River estuary and parts of the open ocean near the Cape Fear River estuary. But, you know, I think sea turtles come into the river when there's something here they want, whether they're feeding or, you know, that would be my best guess as to what they're doing in the river. I've talked to folks on the Wilmington Water Tours tour boat, you know, that are out on the river all day long, and they say they see tons of turtles, Kemp's Ridleys, loggerheads. You know, it's not even that uncommon for them to see turtles in the river as far up as Wilmington. And they also see a lot of sturgeon. I saw a picture just the other day that somebody visiting the tour boat just inadvertently caught a sturgeon leaping out of the water as they were taking a picture of a child with a battleship as a background. Here's a sturgeon that's just leapt out of the water and been caught on camera just by chance.
Ramona McGee, staff attorney with the Southern Environmental Law Center. You think that the Corps' policy change, which would allow year-round dredging and do away with these moratoria on dredging, these windows, these time periods when they won't dredge. You think that policy change is illegal?
That's right.
Why do you think that?
There's a few reasons. The first is that it was an arbitrary reversal in longstanding agency policy. So these restrictions on dredging have been in place for decades. And I think you noted this already. This was a self-imposed policy by the Wilmington District Corps of Engineers. So it's something that the agency developed actually in response to the death of several sea turtles in the late 1990s at Morehead City. So the agency took that information and all the best information at the time that showed that hopper dredging was an enormous threat to a lot of wildlife, and then agreed to this self-imposed policy. And now, abruptly, the agency is changing course without explaining why all those reasons that led the Corps to adhere to this policy for decades somehow no longer apply. As Kemp just discussed, turtles are clearly still here, and during the spring and summer, they are far more susceptible to some pretty severe injuries and possible death.
And we'll get into hopper dredging and how it's different from other types of dredging and what that means for some of these marine creatures. But if it was a self-imposed policy, the Corps said, we killed some sea turtles, didn't mean to do that, so we're going to impose this policy of not dredging during their nesting season. Why wouldn't it legally be, I mean, I understand why it's upsetting to you, but why wouldn't it be legal for them to unimpose that policy on themselves?
Several reasons. So the first is that agencies are required to make informed and rational decisions and to justify the decisions that they make under the Administrative Procedure Act. But the other big piece of this is the National Environmental Policy Act. Here, the Army Corps of Engineers completed a very narrow and limited environmental assessment instead of doing a complete full environmental impact statement, which the agency should have done because this is a major federal action with significant environmental impacts.
What is the difference between an environmental impact statement and an environmental assessment? We're getting a little wonky here, but there is an important difference.
Yeah, there are several, and I'll try to keep it pretty high level. The short version is just breadth and depth of analysis, right? So an environmental assessment, by its nature, is actually supposed to help an agency decide whether or not its action is going to have significant effects and thus necessitate a full environmental impact statement. So an environmental impact statement would fully analyze all of the indirect, direct, and cumulative impacts. It would consider a range of reasonable alternatives to the agency's preferred course of action, among many other areas or analyses. Here, the Corps did a very narrow environmental assessment and concluded that this reversal in longstanding agency policy would not have significant impacts to the environment.
And we have about a minute before we go to break, so we might need to explore this a little bit more. But ultimately, the Corps issued a finding of no significant impact from this environmental assessment. There was a draft assessment and then a final assessment. Kemp Burdette, what do you think was left out of that that would have been in an environmental impact statement?
Well, I think they left out, I mean, I think the first thing they didn't do was consider numerous letters from agencies, you know, anywhere from the Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission to North Carolina Division of Marine Fisheries and others that said, we've got real concerns about this because, you know, we don't understand why you're reversing this policy. We know from the science that using dredging windows and excluding dredges from these areas in these important times save turtles and fish. And so I look to the professionals, you know, the experts, the biologists, and when they have concerns, then I have concerns.
You're listening to Coastline. It's a look at the lawsuit against the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers on behalf of conservation groups regarding a reversal in its dredging policy. We have Cape Fear Riverkeeper Kemp Burdette and SELC attorney Ramona McGee with us today. We'll be back in a moment. I'm Rachel Lewis Hilburn for Coastline. You're listening to Coastline. I'm Rachel Lewis Hilburn. In early 2021, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers determined the possibility of year-round harbor dredging in North Carolina would have no significant negative impact. Three conservation groups, including Cape Fear River Watch, disagree, and they filed suit through the Southern Environmental Law Center. With me today is Kemp Burdette, the riverkeeper for Cape Fear River Watch, and Ramona McGee, staff attorney with the Southern Environmental Law Center. And Kemp, just before we went to break, I asked you what would have been explored, what potential negative impacts or concerns would have been explored if a full EIS had been completed instead of a kind of preliminary or less involved environmental assessment. So remind us what you think was missing from the EA that would have been in a deeper, more involved EIS.
Well, you know, I may have to kind of let Ramona take some of the detailed differences between, you know, what would have been studied under an EIS that wasn't studied under an EA. But you know, I think in a nutshell, it's just taking a much deeper look at impact. So it's looking at habitat areas that might be threatened by dredging. It's looking at species that might be impacted in more depth. It's looking at alternatives to the proposal. You know, what else could we do that wouldn't have this kind of impact? So, you know, I think the EA is just kind of a pretty cursory look at this issue, which is so important that I think it needs a really kind of deep look.
Ramona McGee.
Yeah, well said, Kemp. I'll just elaborate a little bit. A full EIS that were properly done and properly assessing all of the different impacts here would have considered a lot of areas that were not included in the EAs here. For example, the full scope of fishery impacts. the Corps didn't look at the impacts of regular maintenance dredging occurring every single spring or summer on fish impacts or on fish and fishery resources or habitat, like Kemp was saying. The Corps' analysis and the EA didn't consider how this is part of or is related to the removal of dredging windows and seasonal restrictions elsewhere in the Atlantic coast, which is really important when we're talking about species that migrate and occur all along the South Atlantic, not just in our harbors here in North Carolina. There are several other areas. I don't want to bore everyone with my list of all of the inadequacies and omissions, but I think those are a couple of the examples. One other that I'll pull out is the proposed expansion of the Wilmington Harbor. The final EA does acknowledge that the Port of Wilmington is modernizing, as you said, but the final environmental assessment and the draft environmental assessment failed to actually discuss the cumulative impact of having a deeper, larger harbor that is then being maintained in the spring and summer. So those impacts were not considered by the Corps. Those were impacts that the Corps was on notice that it should have been considering and disclosing to the public.
Well, is that going to be part of what's to come? Because we know that the port now has received some federal money for a multi-year process to start. I think it was $500,000, as reported by WECT, to start this process of studying the impacts of deepening the harbor and making it more navigable for some of these larger commercial ships. We know now that some of these ships can't be fully loaded because the harbor can't handle it. So does it make sense that they needed to include that in just this year-round dredging policy change, or is that on the way?
Yes, so that should have been included in this NEPA analysis here as a cumulative impact. When an agency is on notice of some sort of reasonably foreseeable action or impact, it needs to analyze that and disclose it in the NEPA analysis. So here, the port expansion was authorized by Congress at the time that the Corps went through this NEPA analysis for doing the year-round dredging policy here. And the Corps should have considered what are the impacts, the cumulative impacts of doing both of these actions.
I want to divert for a second just to why we're talking about this on the air, why we're discussing this in such a public way. And, of course, we're doing it without the presence of the Army Corps of Engineers. And I just want to remind folks that we reached out to the Corps, and they referred us to the Department of Justice. And in response to our invitation to join this discussion or issue a statement, a spokesperson with the DOJ wrote, "Thanks for the kind offer, but our general policy is not to comment on pending litigation, so we'll decline." That's why they're not here. We chose to go forward with this discussion because we didn't want a statement about pending litigation to be the reason that we can't publicly discuss something that impacts the public. What role, and this is really for both of you, what role do non-biologists, non-engineers, non-scientists play in matters like this one? Is this putting what needs to be discussed in an expert arena in front of people who are just reacting emotionally and don't really understand the scope of the decision or the complexities involved in this decision? Sea turtles are cute. We don't want to hurt them because they're cute. Kemp Burdette, why do you think the public needs to be involved?
Well, I think the public, you know, we are all part of this big ecosystem here, this lower Cape Fear River ecosystem, right? So humans have a huge impact on nature, but nature also has a huge impact on us. And people come here because they love to, you know, go out on an evening hike and see sea turtles lay their eggs or watch, you know, baby sea turtles go to the sea. They come here because they like to fish, and they come here because they love the environment, and they love the opportunities that the river and the Atlantic Ocean have. So, you know, I think there's that just people love this area because of our natural amenities, but there's also really big economic impacts. And so when we take actions that have the potential to really hurt fish stocks, and what Ramona was mentioning is important because we're not just talking about necessarily fish stocks in the Cape Fear River. We're talking about fish that come in the Cape Fear River for one part of their life, but then spend most of their life out in the ocean. And if something like this were to be expanded, then you would have that happening all up and down the East Coast, and you could really have significant impacts on a lot of species of fish that recreational anglers and commercial fishermen all, you know, need to make a living, and a big reason people come here. Cape Fear River Watch has done a lot of work on migratory fish species and really trying to rebuild migratory fish stocks in the Cape Fear River, which have dropped dramatically, you know, over the last century or so. And we've made really big headway. You know, we've got a fish passage at Lock and Dam number one. We know that fish passage is working great. We're actually improving it now, so it works even better. And it would be a real shame to rebuild fish stocks and then have something like dredging activities threaten this thing we've been working on for 10 years now, and that we've used federal and state funds to do, and the community is really behind.
Ramona McGee.
Yeah, I think Kemp said it really well. As this boils down to, these are public resources. These are our natural resources and our spaces. And these agencies are supposed to be working in the public interest. So we absolutely have a stake and an interest in what is happening and the decisions being scientifically sound, informed decisions. And that's part of the Administrative Procedure Act and the National Environmental Policy Act, is ensuring that there is public disclosure and the public has a chance to comment. And I think something that Kemp said earlier is really relevant here about making sure that when the biologists are saying something's wrong, you know, he said he's concerned as well. And I think that's really on point here, where you have the Army Corps of Engineers making a decision that is not scientifically justified. And some of the biologists are trying to raise that alarm, and the Corps is not listening. So it's important for us to all be aware of this and for the public to be part of this process.
One of the Corps' arguments that it brings up in its final environmental assessment is protecting North Atlantic right whales. And in its final EA, the Corps states the North Atlantic right whale, possibly including pregnant females and calves, and we know that these are critically endangered species. The North Atlantic right whale is present within the project area during the months of November through April. Therefore, focus under the new SARBO, which, Ramona, I think I should ask you to explain, has been to shift away from hopper dredging during these months, to avoid vessel strikes by vessels over 33 feet in length and transitioning to offshore disposal sites. The no action alternative could possibly put this marine mammal, the North Atlantic right whale, at risk of injury or death. Do they have a point? I mean, are we working at cross purposes here in terms of protecting different elements of the ecosystem?
So I want to latch on to something that you just said, how they framed the no-action alternative, putting this species at risk. The no-action alternative is what the agency has been doing for more than two decades now, and there has not been a single confirmed North Atlantic right whale interaction with hopper dredging at Wilmington or Morehead City harbors during that time. You know, just to pause for a minute, like, that's pretty remarkable that this has worked for several decades for both protecting the sea turtles that we've been talking about and the sturgeon and the fisheries, and then not posing an additional risk to right whales. So it's true. Right whales are critically endangered. This has not been one of the dangers to right whales.
Kemp Burdett, can you help us understand? We're talking about hopper dredging, and most of us don't have a working knowledge of the different kinds of dredges. I mean, a lot of people hear about dredging to re-nourish beaches after storms or after erosion or just on a periodic basis for an engineered beach. What is hopper dredging, this maintenance of the channel that we're talking about?
Yeah, I mean, I think a way to explain it so that almost everybody can understand it is it's kind of like taking a pretty big ship that has a pretty big vacuum attached to the end of it and just lowering that vacuum down to the bottom of the river, the shipping channel in this case, and just turning it on and pulling all of that sediment that's on the bottom up through that vacuum pipe and then dumping it into the hopper dredge. And so you then have all that sediment contained within the dredge itself. And so you can kind of, you know, you can do surveys, you can find out where you need to remove sediment to get to the desired depth, and then you basically just suck this sediment up through this big vacuum pipe.
And how does that, it may seem obvious, but how does that affect marine creatures?
Well, a lot of ways, you know, kind of the foundation for the marine food chain is frequently found on the bottom and all the benthic organisms that live on the bottom. So your little worms and your little invertebrates that start the very bottom of that food chain and then work their way up. And of course, if you cut that food chain off at the bottom, that has big implications all the way up. So all of those little creatures and critters that live down in the benthos, it's obviously going to impact those. And for sea turtles, for instance, people might wonder, well, how do sea turtles wind up in hopper dredges? Frequently, the sea turtle's instinct when threatened is to go deep. And so they go down right towards where that suction is happening. And that's how sea turtles can get sucked up into these dredges. Sturgeon, Atlantic sturgeon, short-nosed sturgeon, these massive, like, ancient fish species live on the bottom. They use little barbs on the bottom of their mouths, and they kind of feel around the bottom because they're looking for those benthic organisms. So they're down there. They're big, kind of slow-moving fish, and they can be sucked up by the same dredge.
So you're saying sea turtles are responding to the presence of the dredge?
Yeah.
By going deep to get away from what they perceive as a threat?
That can happen, and that's what commonly leads to sea turtles being and again, I wanted to say I'm not a sea turtle expert here, but that's what I understand is the cause for sea turtles being pulled into dredges.
And what happens to them, Ramona McGee, when they're pulled into dredges? You laid this out pretty specifically in the lawsuit. I'm going to leave the room while you discuss this. This was hard to read. It was.
It is. I'll say there are photos available online, and it's pretty traumatizing to see visually what happens to these turtles. But just real quick to flesh out a little bit more of what Kemp was saying, mm-hmm. in addition to the turtles just kind of naturally going deeper, that's part of why this is so concerning to happen in the spring and summer, which is when more sea turtles are present. So it just puts more sea turtles at risk, and these are sea turtles that are trying to go to and from their nesting beaches. You have mother sea turtles that are about to lay eggs or returning back to the ocean. So it's a pretty terrible time from a sea turtle perspective for dredging to be happening. But to answer your question that I've now delayed answering because it is really traumatizing, sea turtles get sucked into these dredges. They can be caught on the edge of the vacuum kind of apparatus of the dredge and then get pulled all the way in. They suffer blunt force trauma, hemorrhaging, embolisms. Again, not to get too graphic, but the visuals will show you where their shells are cracked and broken, their spinal cords are severed. It's very disturbing, and it's pretty rare that the turtles actually survive an interaction with the hopper dredge.
Yeah. And part of what the Corps has said about its reason for doing away with this dredging window is to increase efficiency. They say in their EA, delays in maintenance dredging of the harbors result in draft restrictions, forcing larger ships to light load, waiting on high tides to sail in and out, preventing ships from calling on a port altogether. This results in cost increases that may affect the local and regional economy. It's true. Most taxpayers are put off by inefficiency and government waste, and they want to see growth in the local and regional economy. Is there a way to balance your concerns with the desire for economic growth and efficiency?
Again, I'd say yes, and the Corps did it successfully for decades. The Corps makes these comments about economics, but doesn't justify them, doesn't spell out these hypothetical costs, and the Corps also doesn't flesh out all of the costs associated with the harm to the natural resources, to rehabilitating the turtles that do at least initially survive an interaction with the dredge. There's a lot there to unpack that could have been appropriately detailed and explained in a full environmental impact statement, but the Corps did not do that.
And the Corps also says that it's assembled an interagency team to monitor the impacts of this new policy over the next 3 years. Kemp Burdett, doesn't that give you reason to think there will be good data collected? And if it's harmful, this will stop?
We've got data that shows that sea turtles and sturgeon and other fish species are going to be harmed already. That's why the dredging moratoria were in place in the first place. So, I think the danger is that we're going to spend 3 years killing sea turtles and sturgeon and damaging, fish habitat, and then come back and say, we were right all along. We've just killed a lot more really valuable species of fish and turtles.
You're listening to Coastline. It's an exploration of dredging North Carolina's harbors and why conservation groups filed suit against the Corps of Engineers over a recent policy change. We'll be right back after this short break. I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn for Coastline. You're listening to Coastline. I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn. Since the 1990s, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers has abided by self-imposed dredging windows in order to minimize deaths or takes of endangered species, such as sea turtles, Atlantic sturgeon, and short-nosed sturgeon. But in 2021, the Corps did away with that policy, and three conservation groups have filed suit, charging that year-round dredging of Wilmington and Morehead City harbors will cause irreparable damage to marine creatures, including endangered sea turtles and sturgeon. With me today, Ramona McGee. She's a staff attorney with the Southern Environmental Law Center, and Kemp Burdett. He's the river keeper with Cape Fear River Watch. Just before we went to break, Ramona, I asked Kemp why this interagency team that has already been assembled by the Corps to monitor damage takes over the next 3 years, why that isn't enough for him, why it's not reassuring. Do you have anything to add to that?
I do. So first, on the point of monitoring takes specifically, or the number of threatened and endangered species, that's something the Corps already has to do by law. So that's not a new requirement. But the Corps did, through the consistency process with the state of North Carolina, agree to do some limited monitoring for the first 3 years of this proposal. But those monitoring efforts, again, are very, very limited, very narrow in terms of what they cover, and will only last 3 years. The Corps made no commitment to reevaluate its reversal in this policy at the end of those 3 years, and hasn't even fleshed out who would do the monitoring or how the monitoring would be funded. So it will hopefully yield some helpful information, but I would just stress that it is very limited. And when talking about species that, their lifespans go beyond 20, 30 years, 3 years is a very narrow window into that species' life.
What do we know about how long it takes for sea turtles to reach sexual maturity?
Kemp, do you want to take that one?
I will just say I'm not a sea turtle expert, but I, you know, these are long-lived creatures, and it takes them years. I think
20 to 30 years for most species.
Yeah. To reach sexual maturity.
That's right.
So, you know, an impact today is going to have really far. I mean, that's 3 years is pretty inadequate if you're trying to look at what the impacts to a one sea turtle would be. So,
there is another harbor in the southeast, Ramona McGee, that the Corps had also declared that it was going to do away with these moratoria during specific times of the year, so that it could make better decisions. And, you know, in its final environmental assessment, there's a lot of discussion of the availability of hopper dredges and coordinating all of that. And it sounds like the Corps is looking for more flexibility, again, for efficiency and being able to dredge when those hoppers are available. But a court ruled in Brunswick Harbor, which is Georgia, that the Corps could not dredge year-round. Tell us about that ruling.
Yeah, so that was back in May. The U.S. District Court for the Southern District of Georgia issued an injunction barring the Corps there from dredging Brunswick Harbor during spring or summer 2021. And there, the Corps basically was just planning to go and start dredging in the spring and summer without any sort of public notice or review, no environmental analysis whatsoever. And that led to that court order. Following that district court order, the Corps then changed its plan and decided not to dredge in Savannah Harbor in Georgia as well for spring or summer 2021.
So that's just for 2021?
That's right. That's right, for now.
And so, does that set any kind of precedent in your favor, or is this just about the fact? So there wasn't even an environmental assessment completed before the Corps decided to do that?
That's right. And since then, the Corps there in the Savannah District has completed basically an update to an environmental assessment that was pretty rushed, that purportedly covers some of these impacts from changing course on the dredging windows. But to the point of whether this sets any sort of precedent for our case, I think it goes to show how arbitrary a lot of the decision making by the Corps is regarding the removal of these seasonal restrictions, and how the Corps is doing this not in one isolated state. It's part of a broader paradigm shift on the agency's part.
You're listening to Coastline. My guest today, Ramona McGee, she's a staff attorney with the Southern Environmental Law Center, and Kemp Burdett, riverkeeper for Cape Fear River Watch, a local nonprofit focused on environmental advocacy. I want to repeat the fact that we reached out to the Wilmington District of the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, and they referred us to the Department of Justice in response to our invitation to join this discussion or issue a statement. A spokesperson with the DOJ said, "Thanks for the kind offer. Our general policy is not to comment on pending litigation, so we will decline." Just want to be clear, they were invited to participate in this discussion or at least deliver a statement. Kemp Burdett, you have talked about what it means to be an observer on a dredge and some of the unique pressures that are on observers who are there to monitor what's happening from an environmental point of view. Can you describe what that's like?
Yeah, I think it's being an observer on a dredge has got to be a very difficult job. You're dealing with just massive pieces of equipment that are sucking huge amounts of sediment up through these pipes, and then you're trying to determine, you know, based sadly sometimes on just parts and pieces that you might see, whether or not an endangered species has been taken, whether or not a sea turtle or a sturgeon or some other type of fish has been taken. There are frequently only one observer on these dredges. There's a lot of pressure, I'm sure. You know, these operations cost millions of dollars. And so, you know, imagine standing on this huge, noisy piece of equipment, you know, pumping just tons and tons of sediment in this slurry mixture, and then trying to determine accurately, you know, what a piece of a fish is that you know, you see, or what a piece of a turtle is that you see. You know, I think there's a healthy amount of skepticism about, you know, whether or not observers are able to see every take, which I think is a really kind of sterile word for every dead endangered species. I think that would be very difficult.
Are there other pressures on people? And I don't mean to imply that that these pressures would have an impact on how the job was being done, but just in terms of, you know, if there's a sea turtle take, what then has to happen? If the observer can clearly say, we just killed a sea turtle in this operation, what then happens?
Well, I mean, ultimately it can shut down a project. Once a take limit is reached, then, you know, ultimately it can shut down a project. So I think that's a reason why, you know, there are immense pressures on these observers. And, you know, it's a lot of reporting. It's a lot of, you know, it could be a game-changing incident. You know, on your last sea turtle, that could mean the dredge has to stop operations and move someplace else.
We know of at least four sea turtles that have been killed through this summer operation of 2021.
Right.
How did you learn about those? How do you get that information? And are there any other species that you've heard about so far?
So I can take that one. There's actually an online tracking kind of website that the Corps uses to report every take. We keep using that sterile term, which means, again, to kill or harm, injure a threatened or endangered species. So the Corps has to report that online for its dredging kind of database. So that's one way that we know about turtle takes, and specifically the three turtle deaths associated with dredging Morehead Harbor City this year. Since then, and since the filing of this complaint, we learned of another death of a turtle associated with hopper dredging at Wilmington Harbor when a dredge returned to the harbor in early August. And that's one that we learned through the turtle stranding information that state agencies share and a few other ways. So that's it's disheartening, and it's really important to remember what Kemp was just getting at, which is that these are only the deaths and injuries that are documented and reported. Scientists and resource managers have long recognized that many more turtles, sturgeon, and fish go unaccounted for in terms of the death and injuries caused by hopper dredging.
The final environmental assessment produced by the Corps concludes that known water quality impacts will be insignificant based on the unexplained assumption, and this is actually taken from your lawsuit, Ramona McGee of the Southern Environmental Law Center, that water quality impacts will be temporary. The final EA, you allege, does not compare how impacts to water quality would differ during different seasons. What do you mean here by unexplained assumption, and what do you think happens to water quality?
So Kemp might be able to help me out a little bit on this one, but generally, when you have warmer water temperatures, there are different impacts, particularly with dissolved oxygen levels, as well as other just kind of markers for water quality. So the core in the final environmental assessment didn't compare and contrast the different levels that might be associated with these warmer water temperatures and dredging in the summer versus dredging in the winter. But Kemp, do you have more thoughts on that?
Yeah, a little bit more. I mean, Ramona's right. You know, dissolved oxygen frequently goes down in warmer water. The other issue could be that younger fish, which you're going to see, you know, in the river in spring and summer because they're spawning frequently or they're returning to the estuary after spawning, the impacts of increased sedimentation, sediment in the water on juvenile fish is greater than on adult fish. So it can clog their gills. It can cause, you know, increased mortality there too. So it's a timing issue there as well. You know, you got all these tiny little fish that are in the estuary trying to turn into big fish, and you introduce a bunch of sediment, and it's going to have greater impact on those smaller fish.
Going back to the economic issue, Ramona McGee, you've said that this policy of having moratoria windows when the Corps wouldn't dredge has worked just fine, and they're not showing any damage in their environmental assessment. Any, you know, they're not explaining the economic problem. But part of the issue here is the port wants to grow. For a long time, people have wanted to make the port in Wilmington a major player. And there are lots of things that are happening to move towards that. So it seems like a natural extension of that logic that they would need a little more flexibility in terms of how they're managing the harbor if they're going to make this a real player, a real commercial player.
The Corps never makes that connection, though, in their environmental documents here for changing the dredging window policy. And in fact, that's one of the flaws that we've pointed out, is that the Corps doesn't consider the connections between those different proposals. And again, as we've discussed earlier, there are real economic gains from protecting these natural resources and from maintaining the dredging windows. This isn't a ban. It's a sensible seasonal limitation that the Corps has followed for years. The Corps and its documents even notes that the dredging industry is working to alleviate some of the kind of alleged crunch in supply by building additional hopper dredges to come online in the next few years.
Kemp Burdett, you have been looking down the barrel of a deepened port for a while now. You've known that this has been a goal. Mm-hmm. Is this a battle that you're just ultimately going to lose and have to live with? I mean, how do you think about the direction of the Wilmington port?
Yeah, well, I compare this to a lot of other fights that we've had, and the justification by the Corps is the same that you hear in a lot of other fights. You know, we want more efficiency. We want to be able to do things quicker. We want to save money. And I think back on all the fights that we've kind of fought here, you know, and they're all based on that same line of thinking. You know, we want to reduce pollution controls. We want to dump more in the river. We think we can put, you know, we can save money for industry A by reducing the efforts we make to protect the environment. And every time we do that, we lose, ultimately. You know, we poison our water, we you know, end up polluting the environment, we drive people away. It's such a short-sighted way of thinking that we're gonna eliminate environmental protections for efficiency's sake. There are reasons that we go to great lengths to protect the environment. And when we forget about those reasons and we mess up, we always kick ourselves for it. And I think this is one of those instances all over again. You know, we can do better than dredging year-round and killing really precious marine life. There are other options. We've been doing that for the last almost three decades now. Why the abrupt change? Why so much focus on efficiency when we know what the cost could be?
And that's this edition of Coastline. Kemp Burdett, Ramona McGee, thank you both so much for being with us today.
Thank you so much, Rachel.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Coastline's technical director is Ken Campbell. Coastline is a production of WHQR Public Media. If you missed part of this episode, look for it at whqr.org or just get the podcast wherever you find your podcasts. I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn for Coastline.